Well, hello there, everyone, and welcome to the Back Row Seating Podcast, otherwise known as... I don't know why I keep doing that. I'm drawing from the other channel whenever I do that, by the way. So this episode, we are watching... You can tell from the classic Disney... Actually, this has been released like a dozen times. I was going to say it's not a new film because they swapped this... recently enough, I guess, Strange World was the first time I saw the new one, so I don't know how recent it is. But I don't know what that intro is. It could change depending on which version of Beauty and the Beast you're watching. That's a very roundabout and lengthy way of saying we're watching Beauty and the Beast. But you already knew that, because it's the title, and if you read the description, it has some thoughts on the movie, and so you can probably tell. And we're already coughing. Oh, this is the special edition of... Okay, so this is the special edition. I don't know what is different about it then. I mean, I guess I could find that out. Release reissues. This is, I guess, the 2002. The film was restored and remastered in a special edition cut, including a new musical sequence. Oh. Should I be watching this version then? Ever since YMS, he's doing a lengthy, like, many hour review of the new Lion King film, and he was talking about the re-release of the Lion King, and they put that Morning Report song, which is absolutely atrocious. So I honestly have no idea which version. I guess we're gonna find out, because I've never seen a new musical sequence in Beauty and the Beast, so... Is it, though? Is it? Because the consensus of the internet is that the Beast was a lot more attractive to women before he became a human again. So, I mean, beauty might be completely external. I have actually seen... This is very out of character for this podcast. I have seen the remake of this. It's been a while, so I can't recall exactly. This film is so dark and brooding. This was back when Disney was, like, clawing tooth and nail to win an Oscar. This was back before they had an animated film best category. So, like, the only way you could get an Academy Award for an animated film was for best picture, which is incredibly biased against animated films in general. It was actually nominated, so... You can tell the Disney Renaissance is basically Jeffrey Katzenberg just, like, wildly flailing about with every single production, desperately, like, willing to sell off his children in order to get a Disney Academy Award. Academy Award win, because they were nominated. And the Beast. A lot of this is taken from the original Jean Cocteau film, and I don't know how much of it is. Even the title right there, I don't even remember the title being like that. Oh my god, we got the wrong version. Okay, this is going to be a lot more interesting then. Because the entire time I'm going to be like paranoid that, oh my god, this wasn't the original movie. Even that title, I don't remember that being there. It's a quiet village. I also might sing because I like the songs in this. I actually like some of the songs in the remake. Luke Evans is... I would watch Luke Evans in, like, the worst movie ever made, and I would still enjoy Luke Evans in it. This was back when Disney... The Boulanger... this is back when, like, you made a story and, like, the songs, they had a purpose in the story. Like, whether or not they were explaining character, they were letting you know about the setting. This song kind of does everything, you know. Nowadays, you just put stuff in movies just to put them in there because, oh, the audience will like it. Oh, no, his mustache. As somebody who was very often the outcast individual, I was very weird and awkward, and, like, I was never really, like, in the mainstream crowd, so I've always sort of identified somewhat with Belle, and Ariel in The Little Mermaid as well. This was also me in high school, just reading books. In the remake, they make Belle seem like a village pariah, which I guess her father is in this version still, but like it seems like people are fine with Belle in this. She's very awkward. The Emma Watson Belle is very like the village pariah. Although they were, that was also the version where she was being very feminist and like no one in the village liked that because it was 1800s France, even though every actor was English. Look, it's the best part of the movie, the sheep. You'd think she'd be a lot more infuriated considering she's borrowing that book. But I guess she's probably the only one in the village who would ever, like, rent it then and again, so maybe, I don't know. Chapeau! She looks a lot like the Witch of the Waste from Howl's Moving Castle. Oh! I never noticed that. Belle is very, that was very mean of Belle. It was very much unintended. She didn't know what she was doing. Oh, ho, 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 ho. Here's my boy Gaston. I love Gaston. Luke Evans in the remake as Gaston has got to be like one of the best casting decisions ever. Like the film as a whole was very eh, if not but Luke Evans as Gaston is amazing. Not to take anything away from this Gaston, if I was quicker on my scroll wheel, I would tell you who the actor is. Richard White, there you go. A vain hunter. In the remake, they made him like a soldier from the war. They like make it a part of his character in the remake. I need to stop talking about the remake because this is not the remake. But they make it a point to like, ever since the war, I've been wanting to find my wife. And I'm like, what does that have to do with anything? He's not like battling post-traumatic stress disorder or anything. That's just a line they just stuck in there for no reason. Look at Gaston. Bonjour, bonjour. See, that's something that you can always, animated films will always have a place in filmmaking because there's just stuff like that where, everyone, like the diegesis of like the whole town just deciding to sing and then, it's over, go back to work. Like, that would never work in... I mean, I guess it could work in a live-action film, but it works so much better in animation. We can't have women thinking. I should point out, despite my love of Gaston as a character, I do find a lot of his characteristics very repugnant. He's likable in a very, like... caricature way, you know? Although we have found out in the last few years of Western culture civilization, we have found out Gaston isn't exactly as much of a caricature as we might like to think. One of my favorite things in storytelling. Woo, yeah! One of my favorite things in storytelling is that there's so many tropes and themes that, like, will always resonate. That's why Shakespeare is still talked about, because so many of his themes and stories are, like, always applicable. It's This is like 100 years after the bubonic plague. Like, you'd think that everyone would be terrified of his machinations, be like, oh my god! I mean, so goofy. Have you tried? How does he know about Gaston? And he wants me in the kitchen not reading. I like how she just took cover behind her dad. He has better aim than that guy on TikTok who's constantly throwing the ping pong balls on pots and pans. To the Inventors Association. Yo, he's gonna get that patented so fast, except that those probably did not exist at that time. When is this set? I'm making a lot of jokes. When is this set? It doesn't say. Walt Disney first attempted to adapt Beauty and the Beast into an animated film during the 30s and 50s. Thank God that didn't happen. Not that it wouldn't have been good, but like the amount of puzzle pieces that were in place for this film in 94 to be as good as it is. It would definitely be a different film. I remember this thing being slightly terrifying as a child. I'm constantly like paranoid about when the extra musical number might come in, because I know it's going to be at the weirdest time. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if like he broke out in song right now. I can't find my way home. The wolves are after me. It's so dark I cannot see. You know it's going to be a combination of out of place and like completely not the best quality. Yeah, suck on that, wolves. Oh! I don't know if wolves hunt like that. I think they're a lot more strategic. One heck of a moat. Oh. Castle. I'm reading on here John Cleese was supposed to in voice Cogsworth, but he turned it down to be in An American Tale, Five Will Goes West. Well, this was me. Ah! Hello. Look, his flames are back. Did they just spontaneously combust? I always thought, like, I might have been because I watched Pokemon as well, but, like, I always thought, like, he had Charmander fire. Like, if his fire went out, like, Cogsworth would cease to exist. Or Lumiere. That's perverse. He didn't even take Cogsworth on a date yet. What we call anachronistic, by the way. Or an anachronism. They did not have windshield wipers at this time. Also, that's a very interesting use of, like, the horror film trope. Like, we don't actually see the beast, but we see, like, a shadow of him. Our imagination is supposed to be like, oh my god, what is this thing? Even though it's probably on all the posters. The commercials, like... I guess it works best for people who know nothing about the movie going into it. Hey, it's Angela Lansbury. Of Murder, She Wrote fame. Whoa! How long did it take the prince to, like, get used to his sense of smell? Because I'm assuming it improved when he became a beast, right? So, how many years did it take for him to be like, oh, I can finally smell things? Or was it instant? I would throw the talking clock and lamp, I would throw them under the bus immediately. I'd be like, they welcomed me in. Dude, you know his family means business when they create a castle and they make sure there's a dungeon in it. Everyone just finds it funny. I do like how she does humor her father. Like, the inventions of his that are, like, useful, she does make use of them. It's not just like, oh, dad and his silly inventions. Good, go get one of them then. He makes it so appealing. That's a lot of eggs, because he eats 5 dozen eggs a day. That's a lot of eggs, and the price just keeps going up. That was a terrifying, like, that was like an animalistic expression on him. Sexual assault. There you go. Good job. He deserves it. Like, Gaston is a reprehensible character, but he is, for caricature's sake, he's a good, like, laughingstock. Oh, is there a song here? I guess not. Man. Imagine they had one, they're making a special edition and they want to add a song. Who do you give it to? Well, Gaston, of course. This is what we call a reprise, or if you're British, a reprise. She wants a castle and a giant library. And a teleporter that takes her to Paris. Except that doesn't happen in this movie. That's the remake. Wasn't there like a mirror that like teleported them around or something? And then they got super pretentious. Because the Beast was like, oh, those stupid people don't know how to pronounce Champs-Élysées. It got very pretentious for a second. I started laughing. The remake, not this film. Dad would never leave one of his cherished inventions behind unattended. That he has the beating drum. All the Disney Renaissance films like run together. Like the colors of the wind. Lawrence Fishburne was originally considered to voice the Beast. You gotta scrub. You're not gonna get the grease off that easy. It makes it sound like, oh, well, we've been putting sell ads out in the newspapers, and oh, finally, someone attended the casting call. Lumiere's eyes. Oh, what was he looking at there? Oh my God. Do I need to explain to you why the turrets are oriented the way they are, or does everybody already know that? The spiral stairway. Master of the house, keeper of the, I was gonna say zoo, but it's not a zoo. I was gonna try to incorporate cement or the blocks of iron, whatever they are. Cement. Those are cement blocks, right? This is a very bad choice from a utilitarian perspective. Let's think about it. Her dad has maybe like 20 years of life left. She's given up like 50. I like how before she finalizes the decision, here, let me get a good look at you. I do remember the pacing early on in this film being a bit wonky. Like, she just showed up and he's just now leaving. Boy, I'd hate to be the, I guess, in terms of the people in the castle who got turned into inanimate objects, I guess that would be the horse-drawn carriage driver guy. That'd be a sucky job, considering everyone's living it up in the castle and he's just sitting out there all the time. He was never that sad when it was her dad. He's only feeling that way because it's a woman crying. He couldn't have cared less if it was her dad. Although I guess he does have a soft spot for her immediately because he was shocked that she was willing to give up her life for his, so. Oh, is that the Hydra from? No. It certainly looked like the Hydra from Hercules. That didn't come out yet, I don't think. But they were working on all of these, like, at the same time as each other. I hope you enjoy your imprisonment. See, okay, I do remember the pacing in their relationship being very odd. Again, he's only requesting that because she's a woman. But I guess, honestly, he does have that in the back of his mind, perhaps, that, oh, well, this is a woman and I'm a heterosexual guy. I mean, maybe she'll be the one to break the curse. Who knows? Oh, is this it? Looking so down in the dumps. Every guy here loved to be you, Baston, even when taking your lumps. This is the best Disney song ever made, by the way. Hope you guys all know that. Like narcissism on parade, it's amazing. It also has like the swing style to it. It's amazing. Pinky. As a specimen, yes, I'm intimidating. I'm but a guy like a stone. Wow, the definition of that sentence has changed in the last 20 years. I guess 30 years. Referring to other people as drips meant like inferior, but these days like drip is a positive thing, isn't it? They also make the scene. This song is a lot more confusing in the remake because in this film, it's purely Gaston's blind confidence and charisma. That's the only reason this town is like so enamored by him, to the point that they're willing to murder for this man. Like he wins them over with like his narcissistic charisma and nothing else. Like the whole point of this is that people will find leadership from absolutely terrible people, but they're won over by like this religious sort of fanaticism toward them. But in the remake, there's this shot of, like, LeFou giving people money, and it almost seems like he's secretly paying them under the table just to boost his ego up. It's very confusing in the remake. It doesn't make as much sense, which is weird, because Disney remakes live-action ones, anyway, are, like, a lot more about, like, correcting things about the originals, and that one's very much, like, making it confusing. Like, it's the opposite of what they tend to do. We'll help you out the door. Let's see, he owns his daughter. If I impress him, he will give me her daughter. Interesting. Is this the new song? I don't remember this. I honestly don't remember that. I guess it could be. I thought it just cut to Maurice out in the village square. I thought you might like a spot of... Angela Lansbury is, like, such an interesting, like, accent. I don't know where she... I mean, I guess I could find out. I'm right here on Wikipedia. I don't know where she's from. She sounds like a combination of... She has, like, the perfect British-American accent. Well, she was born in London, England, so, I mean, it makes sense. Like, she sounds British, but she also sounds, like, American. Chip. I wonder what happened. Why did Chip have a chip? I get it. It's a joke. Why would I want to go to dinner with my captor? I mean, she did agree to be there, so the situation is already very spotty, I guess. Well, you're off to a fantastic start winning her over by imprisoning her. I'm trying to see which song was added to the special edition. Look at that smile. Hey, don't frighten her. Don't show her all your fangs. Oh, wait, this says it includes a new musical sequence, but it also says that a new sequence set to the deleted song Human Again was inserted into the film's second act. So is that two different songs, or is Human Again the new musical sequence? Gently. I know about Human Again. It was like, it didn't fit with the story, so they took it out of the film, but they added it to the Broadway production version. That would certainly be better than them in 2002 being like, oh, you know what, here, we'll make... That's what they did with Morning Report. He really needs to read the book, Winning, How to Win Friends and Influence People. Not. He said she could go anywhere. Go anywhere, just don't eat. She can leave her room. I want to know if the rose in underneath the cloche, the glass cloche, I want to know if that's from the Jean Cocteau film. I want to know where that first, was that an art thing from the book? Because it has become iconic throughout, like, Western civilization. Oh, look! Oh, my God, look, it's Belle! It's the Hosoda film Belle scene. Just backwards. It was an homage in that film, by the way. Pointed that out on my Twitter. Like, after, immediately when I saw that scene in Belle, I was like, oh, I recognize that shot. Don't play with fire, girl.
Je t'alors.
I don't know what that means. I've got Google. What am I talking about? Zut alors. Oh my God, it means damn then in English. This is perhaps the least vulgar, but extremely useful French curse word out there. It's very safe. It's a very safe option if you want to curse in French. Zut alors.
Enchanté.
I think that means my pleasure or nice to meet you. Then she'll absolutely be in no way to help break the curse. Okay, if there was ever a Disney money shot, here it is. It's this next upcoming scene. This is pretty much like the Disney aesthetic. Don't play with fire. It is kind of silly because I started this commentary track off with talking about how amazing it is to have songs that tell setting and tell character and tell story. And this song does none of that. This song is just, oh yeah, literally, we're gonna have fun with the animation. I guess it tells animation, and it also tells the wonderful writing from Tim Rice. Hang on. Production. It was Alan Menken, by the way, not Tim Rice. I apologize. As soon as I said that, I'm like, here, let me go and confirm this. I was also Ashman, too. Rest in peace. This was also released in 91. No! Oh, Tim Rice. Okay, he was involved in Aladdin. Ashman died. 1991, before this film was completed, and Tim Rice finished Aladdin. Okay, so that's why I know Tim Rice from this era of Disney. Tim Rice, common collaborator with Andrew Lloyd Webber? You know what? I guess they are telling story with this. They're telling their story. Okay. I wasn't entirely accurate in my critique of this scene. Giving us backstory and character. Zero lumps, please. Did you know that computer animation was used for this film? To some extent? That's a chandelier, as they say in French. Not accurate. I'm fairly certain that is not accurate. Is that David Ogden Stier singing? I didn't know he had the pipes. Good God. I guess I did. He sang in Hunchback as well. That was him, his voice singing Hellfire. Hunchback, by the way, being my favorite of the Renaissance. I think it's my favorite. I've got a lot of Disney Renaissance films that are like way up there. Hunchback, Little Mermaid, Hercules. I want to say that's my top three, but I would need to see a list of all the films from that era. Oh, look at her reverse psychology. She knows what she's doing.
Baroque.
That is a deep history cut joke. I remember when we learned about buttresses, or specifically flying buttresses. That was a big joke among us. I'm assuming that's why it was included in this film. That's a very funny joke whenever elementary school students hear flying buttresses. Flying butts! Now we're adults, and sadly that kind of humor just doesn't really land. As evidenced by my three episodes regarding the Austin Powers films. Fun fact, why were they such a big deal on walls and castles? It was not necessarily for decoration and design, it was to keep it warm, because they would legitimately, like, cover the walls in tapestries, and that alone would keep the castle warmer. Which in Northern Europe is very important, because it's very cold up there. Dragons. A lot of interesting architecture. Well, I guess that's not really architecture. That's like embellishments. I've always had a pet peeve, and when animation See, the doors are separate. They're, like, designed differently because one of them's going to move and the other one isn't. I've always had a pet peeve about that. I know that's just how animation works, generally speaking. At least back at that time. But it's always been like, eh. Like, I know they're drawing animation on top of, like, matte paintings. Look, they're playing a leitmotif. They're playing the Beauty and the Beast main theme, which symbolizes the two of them being together. Most notably when they're dancing in the ballroom. I don't know, what could she have done? This is also Belle, an homage. What could she have done? So let the rose have some air. What is, the glass cloche is not sealed. Oh, that's the scene from Belle, by the way, that I failed. I was referencing earlier incorrectly. Okay, now this is going to be the new musical segment. I must get away! I have got no more time to play! These wolves, they see me as their prey! Again, I think wolves attack and hunt a lot more strategically. I don't know if they chase down their prey, but... I also don't think they would do this. I don't know, maybe they're very hungry and they're just like, oh, food! Yeah, there you go. Go, Philippe! This snowy setting always reminded me of that one, the Winnie the Pooh movie, where they think Christopher Robin goes to Skull when he went to school, but they hear Skull and they go on an adventure. I need to find out what movie that is, because that was an intricate movie to my childhood and I can't remember anything about it. Except like little bits and pieces. But it was like an epic Winnie the Pooh movie. Like, they were not in the Hundred Acre Wood. They went like on an adventure and had like this epic feel to it. Let me see if I let me Google up Winnie the Pooh, Christopher Robin Skull. Let's see what comes up. Pooh's Grand Adventure. Well, it honestly sounds like it's an epic film. Oh, this person, they uploaded the whole movie on YouTube. Yeah, it's just a little 2 to 3 minute segments. Oh look, Skull Cave from the Disney Wiki. The Skull Cave, also simply called the Skull. Well, I know what movie it is now. Maybe we'll watch it. You tell him. I do like how their relationship, it starts with a power imbalance, but like it never like fluctuates. It like evens out. Like it's not like anyone's losing or, I mean, I guess, yes, there is some losing and gaining of like, I don't know what term I'm looking for. You know what I mean? They come to an understanding. Like, they end up on even ground as far as, like, their relationship power dynamics go. That's creepy. I mean, he has a point. She was willing to be captured and lose her freedom forever for her dad. Which, again, is a terrible trade-off in terms of, like, utilitarian mindset. Always need a comic relief character. I don't know what breed of dog that is, but it would be hilarious if it was like a breed that was bred in the Ottoman Empire. I know that there's a lot of, when these Disney films came out, it was the 1990s, and I know recently there's a lot of people who look at all these films and they, like, they mention, like, supposed problems in them. Like, a lot of people, like, say that this is Belle and she's experiencing, like, Stockholm Syndrome, and I'm not saying that that's not the case. I do find it interesting, I would certainly like to read up more on the topic, and I probably could have, especially since I'm bringing this topic up for discussion. Well, I guess it's not really discussion because I'm the only one here. I think that one has more legs. Another one of the big ones is that Ariel, like, gives up her legs, gives up, like, she changes everything about herself for a man when that's not at all what she's giving herself up for. To be a human, like, that's what she wants. It's not because Eric, she just happens to run across hot pants Eric on the beach. Was that his name? I can't even remember. So the Little Mermaid one's a little less I would take seriously. I'd be interesting to see, like, people who would be better able to make an argument for this film being problematic in that sense. Towards good God. What is this, America? And it's just like when I was a child. I think this film would be a lot more problematic if Belle was the only one, like, evolving and changing as a character. But Beast is also doing that. Like, they're growing to understand one another. It's not just Belle falling in love with her captor. Although, I guess at the beginning of the film, the fact that Belle made the conscious decision to take her father's place, I guess that does do a lot to take away the, oh, well, he is her captor, seeing as how she agreed to be there, so. That might be helpful in that sense. I wonder if that's what the script writers were thinking at the time. To be fair, I would also be that way if a bird decided to eat seeds out of my hand. That's totally not, that's a different person. That is definitely not the Beast's voice actor singing. Apparently that is him. Wow. He sings a lot differently than he talks. I'm gonna get you! Where'd you go? Oh, I'm gonna get you! Ah! I guess for all of the Stockholm Syndrome arguments, there's also an argument that, like, guys could probably make. Oh, look, women changing men. Making them be a lot more considerate. How dare they? Sarcasm, by the way. I know you can hear my voice. I just want to make sure, because it's the internet. Oh my god, is this the new musical number? Is this it? Oh my god, this is it. This is all new. I don't remember any of this. The animation's weird. Here we go! I don't think I've ever seen this before. Yeah, I've never seen this before. Oh, look, they're setting up the ballroom. The iconic ballroom. Ballroom. I guess it will be the ballroom because she'll be in there. I have seen this. This looks familiar to me. Then again, I don't remember any of this, so I don't know. The cat pillow! Get it? I just mentioned Shakespeare. I guess it would make sense that Beast would be so enamored, considering he was a little French boy. They probably wouldn't have bothered with any of that English drivel. Whoa. Whoa, households. Look at that estate! It's so French! I guess this does make sense in the grand scheme of things. Seeing as how the castle does, it is in disarray, and then if you're watching the original version, it's just like perfect, like from one shot to into the next. I don't think this is absolutely 100% necessary to explain that, but I guess in the grand scheme of the story, I can see where somebody would be like, oh, we should probably have something to explain this. The rose was perfect, like at the beginning of the film. It's only when Belle showed up that it started losing its petals. If the rose was like, okay, I hold up for this long, we gotta get this going. French. You look like a little French child. Well, if you want to talk about iconic dresses, I mean, there's one right there. I wonder who designed it at Disney. Mm-hmm. They had no idea what they were getting into. Look at that smile. Sing it, Angela! Chip is so, like, enthralled by this. I would think most kids would be like, ew, romance! Ew, gross! Beast, don't get cooties! Look at that violin. That looks pretty big. That might be a viola. One hell of a ballroom. Where did she learn how to dance? She's the village pariah. Where did she learn? Maybe her dad knows how to dance. Or maybe he knows how to dance. He's taking control now. Also, could you once again tell that there is some computer-generated animation that went into this? I just want to watch Hosoda's Bell again. Those windows! Hey! Dude energy right there. ooh. Don't ask me to play this on the guitar, because I absolutely can, by the way. Fun fact. To the cupboard with you. I could be a kid again. Oh, look at that smooth move. What a difference one season makes. They completely skipped the whole winter season, but if you want to see it, you can go and watch the Beauty and the Beast and Belle's Enchanted Christmas, and you can see what happens in the middle of this movie. Like a midquel, I guess. No, Beast! No, this is a bad choice! Don't do it! No! In a forest somewhere. What is he doing? He couldn't have asked, like, you're coming back, right? Just make sure it's not like super late in the night, then you're like spying on me. Who knows what goes on in behind his castle walls in his private time. Very dangerous mirror to be given to anyone. I can't remember if they expound upon this in the remake or not. I really wish in this version they had... Well, I mean, it's a kid's movie, so I'm not gonna... Whatever. It's a family movie, not a kid's movie. But the whole moral dilemma... Beast is not just looking for love. He is looking for the humanity of his entire castle staff, essentially. Like, and they don't play on that, really. Like, there could be a dilemma of, oh, well, him, you know, there's a whole dilemma there, well, where he's trying to be respectful to her and let their romance grow naturally, but at the same time, there's a ticking clock, not just for him emotionally, but also for his staff's humanity, because who knows, like, you know, there's a lot more riding on his decisions than... Who went up there and... Maybe he just put a disguise on. He was Solid Snake there. I wish they had played more on that, because that's an interesting dilemma. It's sort of like in Infinity War, when there's a lot of proposing of, well, okay, people can sacrifice themselves, but how can they... Will they sacrifice other people? Is Beast willing to sacrifice his staff just for, you know, a chance at romance or something like that? Beast stuff him in there so that she would have to come back and return him. Why did she bring him back here? Why didn't she take him to the castle where he has a hospital staff? Asylum de Loons. That is such an American, like, oh, here, we're gonna write French. That old guy looks like he belongs in like a Don Bluth movie, not Disney. That sounds like blackmail. Leave it to Bell to use hard facts and skepticism to get rid of all these people's crazy ideas. Oh! Who's the monster and who is the man? This isn't even Hunchback of Notre Dame. See, this would be a lot more, like, maybe entertaining if it weren't, like, so relevant to our modern day existence. People using fear to make people do insane things. If this weren't actively happening in our society in 2023, this would be a lot more entertaining. But as it is, it's kind of terrifying how art or how life imitates art. I mean, I say that, but again, these themes are universal, and like it's been this way for centuries. I mean, during, we referenced the bubonic plague earlier. During the bubonic plague, oh, well, here, we gotta kill the witches because women aren't getting sick because women and Jewish people are very clean and they're not getting the plague like us dirty people are. So they must be evil and witches. Oh, let's go and kill them all. Like, this stuff's been happening forever. Even in the Bronze Age, I'm sure there was something. That was a very interesting couplet. How did he end up there? I don't think people in their position would admit to that. I don't think they would admit that they're scared. I think they would be like, no, we're just protecting our lands. We're just being protective. I don't think they would actively admit, no, I'm actually scared. Okay, maybe this is a lot more like Hunchback of Notre Dame. than I thought. And that's what we call an argumentum ad populum, by the way. Just because 50 Frenchmen believe something stupid doesn't mean it's true. Even if every Frenchman believed in something stupid, that would still not make it true.
I know!
Look, he's so emotionally taxed that he doesn't even care about the well-being of his staff anymore. But they care about him! Watch, you'll see. Oh, good kid-friendly fun. That was very, also, that was very Dark Soulsian, by the way. How does Chip know how to work that thing? It's not even an invention yet. Chip is like 8. I was gonna say, you might want to move. This whole aesthetic is kind of Bloodborne-esque. That's broken, bro. Did you see the boudoir with the freaking giant sword in the window? That's lifted exactly from Hunchback of Notre Dame. Although I guess Hunchback might be lifting from this, because I'm pretty sure Hunchback came out after this. Marge Simpson. Yeah! Oh boy. Physical humor towards the buttocks. Man, kids find the craziest things funny. I mean, I was one of them, so I mean. Oh my god! I would be proud if it took like 4 people to take me down like that. That's positively British of you. I want to say Gaston, at least he has some honor, but I mean, then he does that, so the whole get up and have a fair fight thing is kind of out the window, especially since he already shot him from behind. This is very Hunchback of Notre Dame. Although I would probably, you know what? I guess not. I was going to say, I would argue that Claude Frollo is a lot more evil than Gaston is. Gaston is just a narcissist jerk, but I mean, they are fighting for, you know what? No, Claude Frollo is probably more evil. Also, the tone of that film just like portrays him a lot more in a villainous light than Gaston. I would actually like, if I actually had like a comment, I guess I put this on YouTube in the comment section. I would love to go online and see how people view Frollo versus Gaston and how villainous one thinks the other is compared to one another. Because like Gaston, he never sexually assaulted Belle from what we saw. Claude Frollo actively like partitioned God to let him like sexually assault Esmeralda. So, I mean.
Belle.
Should have taken his bow away from him. At least throw the bow off the tower. Well, yeah, you put Chip in her backpack. Oh, it was a knife. Never mind. Oh, look, pride literally came before the fall to his death. That is such a good way to kill off Gaston, because like it wasn't Beast didn't kill him. It's kind of like Wolfwalkers, because once again, this would not be an episode of Backroom Seating without referencing Wolfwalkers. But, like, the dad in Wolfwalkers didn't kill, I want to say Oliver, but that's not his name. The bad guy. It is his name, Oliver Cromwell. He doesn't kill Oliver Cromwell. Cromwell kind of like sacrifices himself, so that like absolves the hero of the film of any murderous doings. She's also not looking at him. She's looking above him. Look, she's looking at his horns or like... Her eye, his eyes are down there, Belle. Quite a romantic, this one. If we've learned anything from the Phantom of the Opera sequel, love never dies. Look, it's shrouding him in like a cocoon. Almost like a metamorphosis is taking place. Okay, if I had a nickel for every woman on the internet who says that the Beast is less attractive after it transforms, I would be very rich. He looks like Fabio. He looks like he belongs on a Harlequin book novel. Go back. We've gone too far. Go back. I love how, okay, so between this and Beauty and the Beast, they both have that theme of people changing for somebody else. And I love how both of them is looked upon negatively. For different reasons, I'll admit. But like, for both of those films, everybody's like, oh, it's not good to change for other people. Either because you should love yourself in the case of Ariel, or in the case of Beast, you might be a hunk as you are and changing to something lesser. Dude, that witch had some seriously powerful magic. She changed the whole ecosystem. Look at that. I mean, honestly, everyone looks very weird because we've only seen them as their inanimate forms until now. So I guess even the Beast would look weird, seeing as how we've seen him as something else. That everyone looks weird. There's some of that heterosexual stuff that we can show kids, but God forbid we do it with any other genders or sexualities. We wouldn't want to scar our children with shows of sexuality unless it's between a man and a woman. Look at him! He was using his paunch. This all could have been avoided had Belle just gone Maurice and brought him back here. Mrs. Potts would have made him some chamomile tea and been like, oh, you'll recover nicely here. We'll just stay in the castle forever. Perhaps, and then this reminds me a lot of Sleeping Beauty. Although, I guess if Beast hadn't have died, it wouldn't have, like, pushed Belle over the emotional edge to saying I love you. Was it because she said I love you? Was the Rose waiting for those words, or was it like, hearing her heart, like, oh, yeah, we can tell. I don't know. I guess someone's death would be an opportune time to say the words I love you, but, I mean, she might not have had to wait that long if she was in love with him when he let her go. Hey, that was Beauty and the Beast. Tale as old as time. Gary Truesdale and Kirk Wise, what all did they do? Oliver and Company, Little Mermaid. What all did Kirk Wise do? Oh, Rescuers Down Under, Prince and the Pauper. I did watch Prince and the Pauper as a kid. I can't remember anything about it, but I do remember it. Oh, I was born in 92, by the way, so Beauty and the Beast did come out before I was born. Factoid. Kirk Wise worked somewhat on The Lion King, directed Hunchback of Notre Dame. Shocker! I was only... Oh, Truesdale and Wise. They did this and Notre Dame. They both very much like France. I could see where things sort of crossed over. They also did Atlantis. That's baller. That has nothing to do with these two films. Bobbleheads the movie. Do I want to know? He also executive produced Disney Nature Oceans. Oceans is a 2009 French nature documentary film. What is with them in France? They love France, man. That's wild. They just can't get enough of it. I need to watch... Isn't there the French guy? Isn't the explosive guy in Atlantis French? I need to watch all of their movies and find all the French people. I guess ADR directed Spirited Away for the Disney release. Which, it's not to figure out. I do know on the docket I need to watch a Studio Ghibli film. I've been doing this for like 2 years now. I should have a freaking Miyazaki film on here. Oh, look, they have collaborations. Gary Truesdale and Kirk Wise have cast certain actors in more than one of their films. It's like they're like Wikipedia showing you their stable of actors. Jack Angel has been in all of them, as well as Patrick Piney, David Ogden Steers, and Frank Welker. What that's worth. I don't recognize most. I recognize David Ogden Steers. That's about it. Jack Angel. Why am I even looking this up? Robert Stack. Oh, Ultra Magnus? Robert Stack? Really? Interesting. This is about this movie. So yeah, Beauty and the Beast. I love this movie. It's a great movie. There are a lot of flaws. Not a lot of flaws. There are flaws to it. Some of the pacing is weird and stuff. They could have spent like another 10, 20 minutes. Because this is a very short film. But, In interest of just keeping it as it is, yeah, the special edition of Beauty. I didn't recognize anything other than the song. I didn't recognize anything like out of place or anything. Human again. It definitely was not Morning Report bad. So this is the Morning Report. Go away. That doesn't feel like Human Again didn't feel as detrimental to the pacing as much as Morning Report. I was shocked when I watched The Lion King again recently. I was kind of shocked by how there's like, other than the scene towards the end where Timon and Pumbaa are like dancing in hula, Like, outside of that one scene, like, if I could take any scene out of The Lion King, that would probably be it, because it's such a serious film. Like, there's very little comic relief in The Lion King, except for that one scene at the end, and it's, like, such a serious, like, climactic buildup. I wish that scene wasn't really there. It's hilarious, but at the same time, like, I kind of wish it was, like, a 100% serious film, but, I mean... we'll talk about that whenever we watch The Lion King, I guess. As far as Beauty and the Beast goes, yes, I enjoy it. I don't know if I'll watch the remake again on here. I've already watched it, and I don't know if it's a movie that I would want to watch again. Although we might, because it's got Luke Evans in it, so who knows? At some point, I might really, really, really want to. Yeah, Howard Ashman. Who gave a mermaid her voice and a beast his soul, we will be forever grateful. Howard Ashman. Really cool guy. Thank you guys for watching. I will see you guys on the next episode of Back Row Seating Podcast. Thank you guys for joining along. Hope you enjoyed it. I had a blast. Have a good one.